This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 66. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today we are talking to Jim Yuan. Jim is a digital nomad amongst many other things. He was born in China and raised in the US. We chew the fat on Philippines and Manila and business opportunities over here amongst a lot of other topics. So I think you will find this really interesting and you can learn a lot in terms of opportunities generally presented to the Philippines and working with staffing in the Philippines. So enjoy. And if you want any information, if you want to get in touch with Jim, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/66. And just as a quick note, I apologize for the sound quality on this podcast. I had a bit of an issue with my microphone, but I'm hoping that the content more than makes up for the slight inconvenience with the sound quality. Today I'm with Jim Yuan. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Derek.
And Jim is an international man of mystery. He was born in China and brought up in the US. He works in IT and IT consultant and commercial strategy. He's now in the startup world and is also a digital nomad moving throughout the world. So, highly dynamic guy. And we both find ourselves in the Philippines and he has some interests here. And I wanted to get him on the podcast and get a feel for his first impressions and fresh pair of eyes for Manila, Philippines. So, how are you doing, Jim?
Good, Derek. Thanks for having me here. Really appreciate it. It's quite an interesting night here in Manila, Philippines. Lots of rain and lots of traffic.
Well, this is actually a really good place to start, isn't it? So it's Friday evening. It's now 8 o'clock. We were meant to meet at 6 o'clock.
We were, yeah.
But there is a typhoon coming into Manila, and everything just grinds to a halt. And so what's your impression of that? How did you go with that? You spent 2 hours trying to book
it. I did. Well, the transportation infrastructure, I think it's due for overhaul. You know, in the Philippines, there's the MRT and LRT, the two lines in Manila. But Manila is, you know, it's a city with over 20 million inhabitants.
That's 10 million per line, then.
Yeah, it's quite a. I think I sent you the photo of the amount of congestion within the MRT, and then also along EDSA, which is the largest road in Manila. It's quite a challenge. But again, you know, that's, you know, it's a challenge with every country. You know, having, you know, been in Southeast Asia as a digital nomad in Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, and now the Philippines, you know, every country has its own challenges, but also potential. You know, when I first got to the Philippines, you know, it's what struck out to me is how young this country is. You know, the average or median age of the country is around 25, 26, maybe I'm plus or minus a couple of years, but in the mid-20s. Whereas, you know, if you look at Asia-Pacific, if you look at a country like Japan, for example, the average or median age is around 48.
And I think it's one of the only countries with a very, well, there's obviously more countries, but it has a very positive birth rate as well, yeah? So people
it
are
does.
Still getting born, and the average age is getting younger still.
It does. You know, when you go to a shopping mall, you know, you see a lot of parents with a lot of children. You know, that's it's one other thing that struck out to me is the amount of consumption in this country. That, you know, the for the country where on average people would earn up to maybe $8 or $10 a day, you have individuals who would not hesitate to spend a cup of money on a cup of cappuccino for the equivalent of $4 or $5.
Yeah, it's becoming quite a consumer society, isn't it? And maybe borrowing from the US where you were brought up, I see it maybe with sort of slightly more distant eyes than you. this is a very American culture, and for better or worse, you see a lot of the American culture transferring over here. Everything from NBA basketball to pizzas, and also then shopping malls and possibly even consumerism.
To a large extent, I would agree with the consumerism. And you do see certain institutions and certain hobbies, like basketball, for certain that's translated from the other side of the Pacific. But I do want to also add that when I first got off the plane to the Philippines, it actually felt like I was in Central America. And I'll explain this why. Because it's a combination of the influence by the neighbor up north, the United States, and also the influence by the Spanish. Because this country was a Spanish colony for a while before the Americans took over. And it does remind me of a country like Panama, for example. In that it's very significantly American influenced, but at the same time, you have the Spanish colonial infrastructure in the old parts of the cities. You have the churches, you have the Roman Catholic
populations. It's quite a unique country in that it's very Asian, it's very much within Asia, Southeast Asia.
It's the most Latin American or Central American of the Asian countries.
And that is primarily because, it was moved to Catholicism about 500 years ago. And
correct.
With that, there's a significant transference in terms of, I suppose, cultural
correct.
Alignment.
Yeah. Correct. And
then,
also...
And then there was the Spanish colonization. So a lot of different kind of Western influence from
there's a lot of divergent populations in the Philippines, and also even in terms of ancestry, you have up to 5% Spanish ancestry in a lot of the Filipino populations. You have actually a lot of it is in coming from Latin America, because the Philippines used to be a part of New Mexico. The Viceroy of New Mexico actually ruled over the Philippines. Because when the Spanish established a colony in Manila, Manila was the centralmost trading post where spices from India and silk and tea from China would go to Manila, and that would in turn go to Mexico and then back to Spain. You have this entire trade route,
as a result of that, Manila actually became a hugely sophisticated city and a very affluent city. And just prior to the wars, it was one of the most glorious cities.
One of the more international and trade-oriented cities, and you also have a huge. I was born in China. I moved to the U.S. when I was very young. They have in Manila, a very large Chinese population. The Chinese have come to the Philippines ever since the 1500s.
And I have been told that Binondo, which is
it's the oldest Chinatown.
It's the oldest Chinatown.
It's the oldest Chinatown.
You heard that here first.
It was because of a large extent because of the trade route and.
And also quite possibly because it's probably one of the closest countries to China.
It is. Primarily because of trade. The I think about 20 to 25 of the Filipino population has some extent of Chinese ancestry because of the historical migrations and the trade, and also ancestry from Latin America, from Spain, and also U.S. as well because of the historical ties with the U.S. as well. So very diverse country, and there's a lot of cultural diversity and ethnic diversity, I think.
So let's move this forward a few hundred years and... interestingly, the traffic thing came up tonight, and because you were delayed by 2 or 3 hours getting here, and really, this is a very common problem in Manila, and it's probably one of the things that newbies first notice and comment on. And, this is, I have great pride and hope for the Philippines, but And there is huge potential for the Philippines because it's one of the largest English-speaking countries in the world.
It is.
It is the, I think, biggest Catholic country in the world.
It is, yep.
It's highly aligned to Western culture. So there's huge potential. And obviously, huge economic progress with the outsourcing industry.
Absolutely.
But it hinges on having good infrastructure, doesn't it? And that means good traffic, good transport.
Yeah.
Good internet and affordable utilities, which is obviously the electricity and air conditioning and things like that. And this is where the Philippines is
a little bit lagging behind as where the region goes. But that said, it's, you know, things are, I hope, improving. You know, there's a lot of, everywhere you go in the Philippines, you see construction. Actually, I'm here right now, and I see that there's a construction going on in the building next door. There's a major infrastructure overhaul that's happening. But again, because we're fixing it on time, we have to take a step back and look at it from a time progression perspective. I think that, you know, 5 years from now, the infrastructure is certainly going to be much better. There's companies and money going in, investing in railroad systems, investing in new urban infrastructure, investing in other types of facilities. That's happening.
And it's public-private partnerships, and there's external investment, and hopefully it's going to enable things to
There's currently a competition between China and Japan over infrastructure investments, and it's you know, the Duterte, you know, for all his, you know, his policies, one thing that he does very smart is to play two major investing countries against each other, and there's a big competition between Japan and China over bids to invest in the critical infrastructure in this country.
Well, he certainly has very overt intentions to develop the Philippines and bring the Philippines to the prominence that it deserves, and I think he's quite progressive, certainly in his aspiration. So let's hope that, you know, a lot of that plays out.
I think that in terms of what he does for the country, I think he deserves more credit than certain media gives him. I think he deserves more credit in terms of the certain efforts of moving this country forward.
Well, let's look at that. So as a newish person, but you're very experienced, you've traveled much of the globe. What do your parents say about you coming to the Philippines? Are they worried? So there's a lot of negative media coverage about the Philippines, and it's either, I find, either negative or people just don't even know where the Philippines is. You know, there's either completely ignorance about the country or people are worried.
Well, I think my parents didn't know I was in the Philippines until 3 months after I landed, but that's another story. But I want to answer your question. I think we have to think in two different directions. You know, in one direction, you know, it's certainly, I wouldn't say that, I don't want to downplay the danger, because, you know, danger can happen anywhere. You know, in any big city, whether it's Manila, whether it's London, whether it's Paris, you know, things can happen. You know, it can also happen in a concert in Manchester as well. Yeah, it's always there, and one always has to be very careful. At the same time, I do want to point out that the world is a much better and safer place than what certain media gives it credit for.
Yeah, because of the issue with media generally is
exactly.
It magnifies anything.
Exactly.
Wrong.
I think
there's still 100 million people living very harmoniously in the Philippines, and a lot of business and a lot of business expansion happening.
It is. I mean, most people, you know, whether it's in Manchester or whether it's in the Philippines, are hardworking, kind people who just want to do better in the world. And you know, in terms of, you know, global travel, in terms of comparing different regions, I think for Asia, it's all relative, right? If you're from Japan and you land in the Philippines, sure, you might think it's quite dangerous. But at the same time, you know, I would say it's arguably safer than most places in Latin America. I've lived in Brazil. I've accidentally gotten into favelas two times in my life. One time I accidentally drove into one. But I would say, you know, again, you know, the favela is 99% of the populations who live in favelas in Rio and São Paulo are hardworking, kind people who just want to, you know, do better for their families. Sometimes it's a negative perception that the media portrays that really influences how we think of certain places. You know, I want to end by giving the example of how when I was in Brazil, I remember reading that there were certain inhabitants and residents in some of the most dangerous favelas or slums in Rio who were praying for the lives of people in the U.S. because they read about how there were certain gun violence in certain cities in the U.S. So it's all relative, and you know it's all also very heavily influenced by media perception.
It's a perception of perceptions almost,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's like a
metric. So okay, and that's great insight. So if you were to summarize in three words, how would you describe Philippines? Not three words, but three descriptives.
I think one is high potential, because it's one of the fast-growing countries in Asia-Pacific with about over 6% GDP growth. The other word would be kind. I think that it's one of the most kindest people I've seen. No one I meet in the Philippines ever gets angry over anything. It's quite amazing. And the third adjective or phrase I would say is hardworking. Hardworking, because it's not meant to be a particular compliment, but I've never seen so many people work so hard to support their families. You know, everyone I meet, you know, I used to interview for different positions at the startup I was working. And I was interviewing for team managers, I was interviewing for office managers, and when I asked people, they would say, you know, I want to be the hardest worker I can be so that I can support my parents, so that I can support my brothers and sisters, so I can send them to school. Mm. Quite incredible.
Incredible community spirit.
Hardworking, the hard work that the people inject in their culture and their minds.
Mm. Amazing. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Derek.
How was that? That was Jim Yuan. If you want to get in touch with Jim or want to know any more at all, please go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/66. And if you want to ask us anything at all, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.